From South Dakota Public Broadcasting, this is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Josh Chilson in Sioux Falls. It's Tuesday, August 18th. Students across the state are returning to school, and so are the hidden costs of education for South Dakota teachers. As Jackson Dirks reports, one group is looking to lower those out-of-pocket costs in one South Dakota community.
As the school year starts across South Dakota, there's nervousness, energy, excitement, and there's a lot of firsts. Students starting kindergarten, first days of high school and freshman year, and first-year teachers taking on a new career for the first time. Those all come with challenges. For first-year teachers, it can be hard to fully supply a classroom or have books on shelves for students to read. A 2023 Association of American Educators survey found that on average, teachers spend over $650 out of pocket nationally. One community in the state is trying to ease that burden.
So this morning, we're here to announce 63 first-time teacher grants. If you are a first-time, first-year teacher, so you graduated from college or earned your teaching certificate and this is your first job, the Education Foundation will be giving you $250
That's Allison Strzok. She's the executive director of the Sioux Falls Public Schools Education Foundation, a group that tries to find and fill funding gaps impacting students and teachers in the district.
Please help me thank Kathy and
One of those ways are these first-time teacher grants. The foundation donates $150 and the Mary Chilton DAR Foundation, another $100. To date, over 1,100 first-time teachers have received funds since 2011. Strzok calls the grant a boost to help teachers with classroom needs.
We are not dictating to them, here's what you have to buy, because we have kindergarten teachers, we have AP physics teachers, so they're not going to need the same supplies. And so it's really a gift, an investment in them and their classroom to purchase what they need to be successful. So I think anything helps.
They help teachers like McKenna Olson. She's teaching high school English at Lincoln High School. She already has a few ideas in mind about how to use the grant.
I don't have a lot of middle grade books. All of my books are from my college learning and that experience. I also have a room that is in the middle of the building and doesn't have windows. So I plan to at least get a fan. A fan would be nice. And then some books that are for all of the reading levels and all of the learning levels that will be in my classrooms. I'm going to be teaching 10th and 11th grade English. And there are students who I want to reach at any level and don't want them to feel like they have to be reading certain things in my classroom because that's what's available. I want them to have that opportunity to pick.
Olson says it provides relief.
For brand new teachers, it is so hard for them to make their classroom comfortable and filled with things that are their own and things that they can help their students with out of their own pocket because they don't have that foundation.
South Dakota ranks 46th in teacher pay out of 50 states and Washington, D.C., according to the National Education Association. Olson said Sioux Falls School District teachers are lucky with what they get paid, but it's still not a lot.
So having to make my classroom my home for this entire year and that place for my students, it would be such a big ask to do it alone. And it's really, really helpful to have community partners that are there for us.
So while $250 may not sound like a lot of money, Olson says it makes a difference.
It adds up. It absolutely adds up. Like, I need these organization totes. Cool. That's going to be $50. And so $250, if you budget it just right, which I'm sure all of us will be doing, it can go so far for comfortability and for ease.
The need doesn't stop after the first year of teaching, though. The Sioux Falls Public Schools Education Foundation did a focus group a few years ago and identified the need for grants to support teacher supplies beyond just first years. That's according to Strzok. They're called Replenish the Room Grants.
In our first year, we had 300 applicants in 24 hours. Last year, we had 414 applicants in 24 hours. We'll open that grant later this week. I would not be surprised if we have more than 500 applicants. You know, we have teachers who move buildings or they change subject areas. And so if you were a first grade teacher and now you're moving to fifth, you're going to need some different materials.
The response has been extremely positive, Strzok says.
So $250 is a relatively small investment because we also give $10,000 grants. But the $250, it's that someone believed in what they're doing in the classroom to put money behind it, and that they want to support educators who are really doing good work.
Through both grants, the foundation will invest around $60,000 in teacher grants to start this year. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks.
Two people charged in a homicide in western South Dakota are each sentenced to 30 years in federal prison. 27-year-old Dillian Millard and 31-year-old Charmaine Medicine previously pleaded guilty to second-degree murder. That's according to the U.S. Attorney's Office, District of South Dakota. It stems from an incident on the Rosebud Sioux Indian Reservation on July of 2019. Prosecutors say Millard and Medicine picked up the 15-year-old victim from his home. They drank alcohol with him in a secluded area until Millard eventually strangled the boy. The case remained unsolved until May of 2024, when Millard confessed his actions. State officials say an undercover sex crime operation at the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally led to six arrests. Attorney General Marnie Jackley says the State Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force led the sting. Law enforcement agents pose as children or traffickers online and on social media, offering prostitution. Six men in total were charged with soliciting a minor. Five are from South Dakota. Jackley says two of them may face additional immigration-related charges. This is the 14th year the state has performed this type of undercover sting operation at the rally. The State Medical Marijuana Oversight Committee hears about the impacts of ongoing reclassification of the substance at the federal level. CJ Keene has more.
Medical marijuana and its derivatives were recently reclassified as Schedule 3 substances. Meanwhile, recreational cannabis remains at Schedule 1, the same rating as heroin and above methamphetamine. That's at the federal level. Nicole Ezza, Law and Public Safety Legislative Director for the National Conference of State Legislatures, spoke to the state's Medical Cannabis Board. She says it's important to remember this change is limited.
That's FDA-approved drugs containing Delta 9 THC, specifically from the cannabis sativa plant, and cannabis products subject to a state medical cannabis scheme.
Of course, those state laws could be more lax or strict depending on legislative decisions. Ezza says this order does not legalize cannabis, leaving the ongoing split between legal and illegal cannabis states, as well as the federal government, unsolved.
The recreational states would still be in a kind of bifurcated system where half of the regulatory scheme that deals with with medical cannabis products would be under Schedule 3, but then adult use products would be under Schedule 1 still.
Despite a system that lacks consistency, legal recreational pot remains a tax boon for the states that allow it. In Colorado, their state tax office tallies nearly $250 million from taxation of cannabis. That vice tax is then funneled back into the state's schools and roads, according to the Colorado legislature's website. Some advocates say there's a reason to believe South Dakota, a state with 1/6 the population of Colorado, could be leaving money on the table. Whitney Bruner, the state administrator of the Office of Medical Cannabis, gave her State of Cannabis report to the board. In that report, a slide tallied a $2.6 million revenue from the industry, the bulk of that money coming from cardholder fees. Recreational use remains prohibited in the state. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
South Dakota is still on vacation from the rhetoric of the 2026 governor's race. At least that's what Larry Roden said this week at an event in Rapid City. This comes after a hard-fought Republican primary that resulted in a runoff against Toby Doten. Roden handily won that runoff.
I committed to the press that on election night that we were going to give South Dakotans a little sabbatical from all the campaigning, so we've pretty much agreed we wouldn't crank up again until at least after Labor Day.
Roden faces Democrat Dan Ahlers in the November general election. A company that proposed a multi-billion dollar project in Lake Preston, South Dakota, is officially moving that project out of state. Gevo is a Colorado-based company. It moved its alcohol-to-jet fuel project across the border to North Dakota. Gevo told STPB early last year if South Dakota didn't build a Summit Carbon Solutions pipeline in the state, it would move the project elsewhere. The project needed carbon sequestration to cash in on carbon credits. Gevo then sells the carbon credits to other companies wanting to offset their carbon footprints. Gevo's CEO says that the North Dakota complex is, quote, better suited to support a strategic platform growth than the South Dakota site in Lake Preston. The company's North Dakota site has an ethanol plant already built and carbon sequestration already in place. That's your daily news update. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at SDPB News. And stay up to date on the latest headlines at sdpb.org/news. Thank you for following listener-supported SDPB.